home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Good afternoon, it's Rated G Radio, and I'm your host, Garrett Miller. For the next hour, we are going to have a great time talking to funny man Mr. John Cooperman. John will be calling in just a couple of moments to talk our ear off about all things that are happening this 2016. In the meantime, I want to give some shout-outs and hellos to folks who are tuning in early. Again, it's a live early show. You know why we're doing it at this hour of the day? And you're like, you never do a show at 2 o'clock. We're doing it today because I have the extreme honor and privilege to go up to Hollywood a little bit later today and be a guest with Mr. Terry Ray. He has completed the filming of a new web series starring Lonnie Anderson. It's called My Sister is So Gay. And he, Tilke Jones, Lonnie Anderson, all the stars, Mr. Sam Irvin, who's been a director on the show and he's a good friend, are going to be there. And I got invited to go. And so I said, I'm going to totally go and do this. But at the same time, I said, you know, Terry, let's be honest here. Everybody there is going to have their camera phone and take really shitty pictures with their camera phone and think that they are fantastic pictures and are going to post them all over the place. Wouldn't it be great if I, you know, brought my camera along and took some pictures that would really put the spotlight in a good way on everybody who's there? And Terry says, yes. So I'm going to take my camera. It's a twofer because last night I did the same thing at the, I guess they call it a tea dance at Rage in West Hollywood, but Jessica Williams, who is a great all-American diva, had a fantastic performance last night, and I was asked as a guest by Mr. Rick Giannatos, music producer. Got to visit with tons of folks. We'll possibly chat about that later. But, you know, I said, Rick, can I bring the camera? Because, you know, when I show up with a camera, we're going to have some great shots. And, of course, the answer was yes. So took pictures last night, and everybody on the internet is going freaking out crazy today about all the shots that are there. And so, again, it's my privilege to protect and serve, but also to make sure we get good press. Because, you know, as well-intentioned as the, you know, selfies are with the cell phones and that type of stuff, you know, honestly, the pictures really suck 99% of the time. And I am here to cure the world of that. But curing the world of those upside-down frowns is Mr. John Cooperman. Upside-down frowns, upside-down smiles is Mr. John Cooperman. John, how are you today?
Oh, Garrett, it's been a while. How are you? Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year. It's been a hot minute.
It's been a hot minute. I want to know more about Lonnie Anderson. I used to love Lonnie Anderson as a kid. Oh, my God, Lonnie Anderson.
I loved myself many a time to Lonnie Anderson growing up. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Miss Anderson is actually, you know, there tonight. You know, it may be that, you know, she – I don't know. I would just suspect that she may be a big enough star that this is something that she may choose to opt to not to attend. But we'll see. But if she is there, I am definitely getting a picture with Miss Anderson. And
Miss Anderson was really nice. My buddy, he used to deliver once in a while for Tony for this restaurant. Tony Roma's out here in Encino.
Oh, yeah.
And when she was married to Burt Reynolds, they used to always want something from Tony Roma's, and he used to hand the food over to them. Like, once a week, they used to get Tony Roma's. And he said that she was very nice, and she was very attractive. But we're talking, this was, 1991.
Yeah,
20 years ago. Yeah, 91. Yeah. Born 95 years ago. That's crazy. The years are going fast.
The years fly by, but one thing that doesn't fly by, I think, is Lonnie Anderson's beauty. One of our listeners who's tuning in right now, Mr. Tony G. out of Hackensack, New Jersey, just sent me a picture on Facebook of him with Miss Anderson in 2011. Wow. She looks like $1 million there. But that,
she
know,
looks
that's,
great.
It's one of the things that I, you know, you would think that you know, you'd meet somebody like Lonnie Anderson, and you would think this lady's just a raging bitch, you know. But every single person that I come into contact with say she could not have been more pleasant, more wonderful, more super fantastic, and they are Lonnie Anderson, like, lifelong fans now. And I'm like, I love this woman even more, because if anybody should be a bitch, it's Lonnie Anderson. But
absolutely,
she apparently is quite lovely in all ways. So you know, so we'll see. I'm thrilled for the opportunity to, you know, meet Miss WKRP in person.
Yes. Love her still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So since it's been, you know, quite some time, I mean, far too long for my taste, since we've had a chance to visit, because, you know, here's the other thing, folks. John and I really only visit on the show. For the last year, we've been saying, we need to get together for lunch. We're going to split that leaf of lettuce and a cup of water. And just, you know, schedules. You know, John's been busy being Mr. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, going off and doing his TV shows and comedy tours and stuff like that. And we haven't had a chance to do it. So we don't catch up in between his appearances here. So I feel kind of like, you know, out of the loop, except for, you know, the posts on Facebook and things like that where I secretly stalk you in public. So what's been going on in your life?
Oh, Garrett, it's been – well, the holidays are always rough. I don't know about you. Holidays are always rough, especially in the comedy world. It gets a little slow in the comedy world. And, you know, it's the holidays. We need to make a little bit of extra money, right?
Sure.
Sure. So it's the holidays. I did a couple shows. And my wife, she suggested I drive an Uber and make a little extra money. I'm like, Uber? I don't want to drive Uber. She goes, why don't you drive Uber? It'll make us a little extra money so you won't be at home whining and complaining all the time about how you don't have any shows this month because it's the holidays. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. I was actually driving an Uber for about a month there, Garrett. And
right on.
It was quite an experience, and I have lots of material for it, too, for my upcoming shows, I got to tell you.
I think that this is something we need to delve deeply into today, because, you know, I do know a few people who are, you know, let's say stimulating the economy and helping themselves out at the same time by being tour guides and Uber aficionados, and
Right. They,
you know, It's almost like if you agree to be an Uber driver, you have to take this oath of silence that you dare not speak of any of the insane things that must happen to you. But since I've got you here, what are some of the, maybe like one or two of the craziest things that have happened?
Well, there's been a couple of them, and I have some, you know, it's made for wonderful material for my comedy, for a little segment of my comedy. And I'm glad my wife actually suggested it, because it's been kind of an eye-opening experience. First of all, I can't believe how many people use this freaking thing. I mean, so many people page and want rides with Uber. It's amazing, Garrett. Have you ever ridden in an Uber, Garrett?
I'm very lucky that where I live is so far away that it would be financially not, you know, it wouldn't be beneficial to me to do Uber to get around. So I have not used Uber, but I have tons of friends who don't have cars, and they just think it's the best thing ever.
It is. It's great, and it's not that much money. And, you know, and the money I actually make wasn't horrible, and it really helped us out over the holidays. So I love Uber for that. As far as experiences go, I had a tipsy woman who sat up here with me in the front seat, and she was very sweet. She was very young. I'm a little bit older, as you know. I'm an older, handsome, more of a gentleman. She had to be like 22, and she comes in here, and she goes, oh, my friend's mad at me because I told her that I didn't want her seeing this man who's already seeing somebody, and he won't leave the other girl for my friend, and I said you shouldn't go out with him. And she just went on and on and on about things, and then she goes, how are you? And
then
and she's holding my hand, she goes, how are you? And I said, well, what do you think? I'm an Uber driver. Life's not so good right now, you know? And then I told her about my shows and I do, and she's like, oh, that's great. That's great. And then we show up at her apartment and she's like, okay, well, you've really cheered me up. And I hardly said like a word here, Garrett.
Right, right.
She goes, you've really cheered me up. I really appreciate it. And she comes in and she starts making out with me, Garrett. We're talking make out.
Not make up, but make out.
Make out. And, of course, I'm a married man, so I only accepted it for maybe like a moment or two. And then I'm like, oh, whatever. And then I, right, and she knew I was married, right? I told her I was married and all that stuff. And here she is complaining about her friend who's seeing this man who's seeing somebody else. And she comes in for the kill, and I'm like, all right, it's kind of cool, and all right. But she was really very sweet girl. And I even told her to show up at my last show. She wasn't there. I was hoping to recreate it
for
the whole audience there.
That
I know, that
would
be fun to recreate. But she wasn't there. And ladies and gentlemen out there, it's not only about women hitting on me. It's also about men. There were two guys in my car, Garrett.
I like that you're an equal opportunist.
I'm an equal opportunity here. I mean, so I'm sitting in the car. I have a guy sitting next to me in the back seat. And we're almost at our, wherever we're supposed to be at, our arrival. And the guy in the back, he starts to feel my chest. He starts rubbing my leg. And the guy next to me, it was really hard. Well, maybe a little bit. No, but it's really hard because they were muscular guys, like big guys, and there's no way I could take them. And the guy next to me. And then the guy in the back here, Garrett, I don't know what I'm allowed to say, so I'm going to try to make it as...
You can do anything you want here.
Okay, all right. Well, the guy in the back seat goes, I guess he... Or no, the guy in the back seat says, I bet he's got a big dick, right? The guy in the back seat goes, I bet he has a big dick. And I said, no, actually, I have a small dick, and I'm married. But they didn't like that. They didn't appreciate my humor. And so at the end of the ride, they're like, well, listen, I hope you have a happy new year. And the guy, he comes in for me, and I'm just like, oh, whoa. But, you know, I'm a nice guy. I let him hug me, and I let him give me a kiss on the cheek because he didn't want to get my ass kicked.
Right.
So, I mean, they were nice enough, but they were sure aggressive. And then it makes you take inventory on your own life, like, well, there was this time where I was younger and I really hit on this girl, and I'm wondering if I was aggressive, she felt as uncomfortable as I did right here.
There you go.
But
there you go.
Yeah, it makes you take inventory in a whole new level. But, yeah, and then I had another guy who vomited in the back of my car, and then another woman spilled, and then this woman spilled coffee in the car, so now the coffee smell is hiding the vomit. So... You know, it kind of equals out, but I've had the car cleaned and everything's good now. The car's working good. I'm working good. Everything's looking good. And we're in a new year here. And I'm just trying to really pound the pavement as far as shows go and writing. And my buddy and I are writing a pilot, as I mentioned to you on your last show.
Right. How is that going?
It's going good. We're writing our... second episode right now. The writing agent we saw, he loved our pilot. He wants us, you know, to write four more. So we have some in the can ready to go. Hopefully something happens with it. You know, it's a needle in a haystack, but you know what? At least we have that needle and at least we have that haystack. So we're going for it.
There you go. Well, and I will shamelessly say, if you have a role for me on or off camera, I would love it, preferably on in a starring capacity, you know, 4 to 6 lines a show, a nice 6-figure contract or something like that. That would be great.
we might have you just one of those walk-bys that just seems to walk by in every show, sort of like Alfred Hitchcock used to do.
Alfred Hitchcock or Stan Lee.
Right, right. We can just have you in the background of every show, and then when the season's over, you finally say something at the end of the year, like, well, that year's finally over, or something, you know, and
yeah.
Everyone will know you for that guy being in the
That's
background.
That's it. I can remember
yep.
that. It's kind of like Gunther on Friends. You're Gunther.
Sort of. Yeah. So we're going to make that happen, Garrett, and I'm hoping it's my year. It's been kind of a rough month as far as personal things and all that stuff, but it's a new year. We're living it up. Things are looking positive now, and I'm so happy to be back on the radio with you, of course.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here. Can I ask you, and this is we're supposed to be funny for 60 full-on minutes, but I'm going to ask you, can we talk about the business of being a comic for a minute? Is that something we can
yes.
delve into a bit?
Yeah, so, yes, of course.
What is it, and I probably should know more. I don't, which is why I'm asking the question. But what is it like as a comic, as you kind of like finish your year? Do you have a bit?
What's that? I'm sorry, I lost you for a second there. I'm sorry, Garrett. Hello, are you there, Garrett? I'm going to have to call back.
Well, one of these things that I love about doing live radio is when your $1 million a month internet package decides that it no longer wants to work. So we've just had our 10 minutes of, I'm going to call this our Jodie Foster contact moment, where the show keeps going, and I think we're going, but we are nowhere to be seen. That's what just happened. So I'm sitting here rambling along, and thankfully I have my iPad next to me, which is, you know, up and running on the side, and I've got people going, I'm listening, but I can't hear, you know, I don't hear you. Are you taking a bathroom break? Did you just not tell us that you're going somewhere? And I'm like, I'm talking, you can't hear me? What's going on? I'm telling the most hysterical story I think ever told in the history of radio. I even think I might even be able to make John Cooperman laugh, my guest today. And, of course, nobody's hearing the story. But now that the computer seems to want to reboot, now I'm just simply waiting for the blog talk portion on my Google Chrome to reboot back up. But Tony in Hackensack is telling me he can hear me, so that's a good sign. And here we go. I think we're going to now be back. Do I dare press the button and see if we're going to connect John back in? I think we're going to do this. John, hello.
Hello.
Do we have contact? Do we have contact?
Yes.
Oh, God.
You were in the middle of asking me something somewhat serious, and then all of a sudden it went out, and I'm like, yeah.
I thought you were doing a bit on me. I was asking you, and then, you know, because I was saying, you know, what's the life of a comic? How do you schedule your year? Do you have lulls? Do you have highs? What happens in January to get the business, you know, start to be back on track? And then you go, hello, hello. And I'm thinking, John's playing a game on me. Anyway. And then the computer dies. So there you go. Or the internet dies. And, you know, the thing that fascinates me, not to get off on the Verizon subject here for just a second, but, you know, you pay $1 million a month for this, you know, connection that they go, oh, my God, it's the world's best. And a trillion megs down, a trillion megs up. And I have issues all the time. And then, you know, they send you to the speed test thing and to say, you know, oh, is it really working? And, of course, on the speed test, it's working great. But it's like, you know, to download a 5-meg file, it takes 14 hours. It's like I'm on a 2400 baud rate dial-up. Anyway, so we're back. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yes.
I appreciate your patience, John.
No worries.
You get an award. It's true.
You were asking about if I plan it out or something. No,
well,
how
does that work? Because, I mean, you just don't, you know, say, well, gee, on January 1st, I've now got a ton of gigs, you know, lined up at the Ice House in Pasadena, or you know, do you?
I had, it was slow in December was very slow, and then January, I actually had shows 6, 7, 8, and 9. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just slow during the holidays. And, I mean, there are shows, but not many people want to spend money. They'd rather spend money, you know, on other things. It's the holidays. People are really tight with their money, and obviously so. I mean, it's the holidays. You want to spend money on other things. So, yeah, I usually plan for December to be very slow. I usually do that.
So, you know, so I would think then you kind of treat your year economically kind of like as a teacher, where, you know, your summer months are going to be your lean months, and, you know, so you're off for technically 3 months or something like that. And so, you know, however that works, I mean, you have to kind of budget accordingly, knowing that that's the way it's going to be.
Right. Well, the money as a comedian isn't great unless you go out on the road a lot. And I have, but, you know, I have a kid at home, I have a wife at home. I try to keep it relatively local unless it's a big, huge sort of a tour. That's the only way I will go now. And besides out here, I have my writing partner. We're writing. You know, yes, and in case your audience isn't aware, I do have a bit of a stutter, and it seems to be a little bit worse because of the holidays. So you guys are going to have to hang in there with me. Yeah.
Well, we're hanging. We're hanging tough.
So, yeah, so it's all out here. You know, my writing partner, writing shows. I'm a writer as well on other shows. I worked at a cable sports place. And as you remember, a couple months ago, I worked as a producer on this weird show I was on, Battle Cam. And so it's not all about being a comic, but that is my passion, my love, and that's, if I can make a true living at it, that's what I would love to do.
Well, and I think you should. But at the same time, I think that, you know, we're kind of caught in a dilemma being a creative type in this, you know, wonderful world in which we call Hollywood or California, where, you know, the fact that you know, are a brilliant person in a lot of different ways oftentimes doesn't mean that you can make a full-time living at being your brilliant, funny, or creative self. You actually have to supplement it doing other things to get by,
right,
which I think is really kind of sad in a lot of ways. But you speak, you know, to, I think, something that's common to a lot of industries. You know, musicians, nobody
right
wants to buy music. It's, it, you know, the
right
generation that's up now, it's like, these whippersnappers, but they all think that it should be
right
free. Everybody wants free content
right
on the, you know, for, you know, downloads and TV and things like that. We don't want to pay for it. We just want it free on Hulu or Netflix, and we don't want to pay to see comics. You know, it's like, you know, where do we draw the
mm-hmm
line?
Exactly, and which is why I don't like to put a lot of my performances out on YouTube, because when an audience sees me, I want them to be relatively surprised at the material they're going to see. I don't want them to say, oh, I saw most of this act on YouTube. I could have just watched YouTube. So I really try to keep limited of what I expose out there with the public as far as my shows. I mean, I'm always switching up my said as much as I can, obviously, but there are some zingers in there I like to have in every show, and I don't want it out there circulating. So, yeah.
Well, would any of those zingers have to do with, you know, like things that are going on at home right now?
You know, I've been writing a lot lately because it was my slow month, and our Filipina mother-in-law is living with us for another month. My wife is Filipina.
Another month?
She's with us for another month. And all her useless would be a compliment. I mean, this woman is just unbelievably useless.
So you enjoy having your Filipina mother-in-law living with you, by the sounds of things. What is a typical day like?
Well, besides the shuffling feet, which I hate. Pick up your feet when you walk, okay, people? Pick up your feet. It's not that hard. And then she dresses like it's Antarctica in our house. I mean, it's only like 60 degrees out here in California. But she is bundled up like she is freezing, like she's a freezing Eskimo. I'm like, you can take off your Russian wool hat you got on there. You can take off your parka. We're inside. We're indoors. It's 70 degrees in here. Live it up, okay? I realize it's not Manila where you're sweating your ass off every single second of the day, okay? I understand that. But take off the hat. Take off your hat.
Is there any confusion about who's in the house, you know, when she's dressed up like that?
And then, no, I just realize it's her.
Yes,
but,
okay.
And my wife says, oh, her English really is good. It's like talking to a deer in headlights, okay? Everything you say to her, well, I don't understand, but of course you don't understand. You don't speak English. I mean, she used to work out here in America, and she worked at one of those things that book nurses. So really all she said was, medical support, do you want me to book you? Yes, okay, thank you, goodbye. That's all she knows in English. That's it. You know, a nurse will call her and say, hey, I need some work. Hold on, I don't understand what you're saying. And then when the phone rings, when her cell phone rings, she looks at it like she's looking at a Martian, like, what the hell is this? It's like she'll smell it, she'll lick it while the phone's ringing. She's like, what is going on? Why is it lighting up? And it's like, who the hell wants to call this woman? Okay,
right.
I don't even know why the phone's ringing. I would imagine it's a, you know, like a wrong number or a telemarketer. I mean, a telemarketer, and that's what I do. When telemarketers call me, Garrett, I pretend I'm from the Philippines. Hey, would you like to buy something? I don't understand what you're saying. I like to think that I know. And they're like, oh, are you from the Philippines? Oh. And that's another thing, Garrett. Bill collectors, whenever you call a credit card company, when you call like Visa, MasterCard, whatever, or Citibank, whenever you call them, they transfer you to some world country, Manila or India or something, and it's hard
right.
to understand that.
Yep.
You're late on one bill. If you're late on one bill, you get a phone call from the meanest-sounding English-speaking person in Chicago ever.
Ever.
So it's like I was late with the bill, and I get a phone call. Hey, may I speak to John Cooper? This is Citibank. Why didn't you do that call? Because I don't know. They're like, what? I don't know. You know, I'm transferring them to a Filipino version of me or an Indian version of me. I want to see how they like it when
right.
they get that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so there you go. I'm ranting, Garrett. I'm ranting.
I love the John Cooperman rant. I think it suits you and you wear it well.
Yes. And if anyone wants to make a call out there and say hello, Garrett, I would love to talk with a couple listeners, as I always like to leave it open. Because listeners,
you are
all about the listeners.
You're good like that. If anybody who is listening, let me rephrase that. You are welcome to call in and to speak to John. He will not make fun of you. He will not mimic
your
accent.
I want a question about my speech, about being an Uber driver over the holidays, about what's it like being a handsome comic? Because most of the comics out there, let's face it, they're not attractive. I'm handsome.
I will tell
I'm
you
I'm a good-looking man.
You could turn a page or two in GQ.
Mm-mm. You know it, Garrett.
I'm telling you. Not everybody gets to have their picture taken with George Michael, you know.
Mm.
let me rephrase George Michael
every day.
I know, because I love it. This is like my, you know, it's like, oh, my God, it's my celebrity crush. Or I should say, not every comic lets George Michael take a picture with them. You were nice enough to do that. So it's only understandable.
Yes.
Kind of do,
yes.
You know, pick the mold for what a comedian, you know, looks like on a regular basis. But, you know, we have 20 minutes left. And with our Jodie Foster contact moment that lost, you know, 38 minutes of the show, We have so much that I wanted to ask you about, and I think it's time we jump into that. Otherwise, we're never going to get to anything that's really a hot topic today, like the latest that I'm hearing about Khloe Kardashian. What do you know about the Khloe publicity machine? What's going on with her?
Khloe Kardashian says she has a sex tape with her ex-husband, Lamar Odom. Now, this could mean a whole different array of meanings. Does she have a sex tape of him with someone else or him with her? She wasn't specific, Garrett. I want to know if he's having sex with Khloe or if he's somewhere else. And should we be talking about a sex tape with Lamar Odom when he doesn't even know his name right now? I mean, come on. Let's have him try to get healthy first. Let's have Lamar walk and talk. Apparently, he can't remember a lot right now. I'm hoping she doesn't show him the sex tape, and he'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember you.
Oh, my gosh.
But who knows what's going on with that. But Khloe, I love Khloe, and she just showed a photo of herself recently. She looks great. She's looking really good, but that's what happens. And you got money and a personal trainer and, you know.
Well, you know, money, personal trainer, and a little bit of grief. I think that, you know, I know whenever, you know, I have something that's really causing me a lot of whatever, I don't eat, which is just like so against my grain. So, you know, stress affects everybody a little differently, especially if she knew that, you know, she's got a sex tape with Lamar Odom. But isn't it kind of like a Kardashian rule that if you're going to date one of our daughters, you know that – the momager is actually going to make a sex tape of
her
and you for publicity later on when it's a slow month on the E! Network.
Right. What's the other one? It was
Kim.
Kim and Ray J, is that it?
Yeah,
was
Kim and Ray J.
Ray J.
I have not seen that sex video, but I understand that she's as interesting to watch as painting, you know, is to watch dry.
Well, you know, if you're drunk, everything looks good, Garrett.
I guess that her performance is not as involved or as passionate as one might hope if you were going to make such a video
memory. I would say she might have been camera shy, but we all know that's not true. So, you know.
You never know.
We'll
you never know. Well, we'll
you
see.
You never know.
I wish Lamar all the best. I hope he has a full recovery. I never wish ill on anybody, but, you know, when you're doing all those kinds of things, you kind of bring a lot of stuff onto yourself. So hopefully things will be okay.
Yeah. And speaking of Ray J, he is very well endowed, Ray J.
I'll take your word for that. Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's award season now. We've had a couple of the award shows take place already, and we've got another big one coming up. What do you think about the latest on the Academy Award nominations?
Well, I guess the big news is that there weren't any African Americans really nominated. Straight Out of Compton got shunned almost all together except for the screenwriters or something like that who happened to be white. So nobody, you know, no. So that was the big thing about the Academy Award nomination so far this year. Now, I haven't seen that movie, Straight Out of Compton. I hear it's wonderful. I hear it's a great movie, and they thought it would get lots of nominations. They got a little bit shunned.
I struggle with that because there's just a lot of, you know, I think in anything that you do, especially in Hollywood, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, it just is the way it is right now, but there's a lot of old white dudes, and I'm a white dude, I'm not old, but there's a lot of old white dudes that are in charge of everything, and as nice as it might be to think that we really do live in this 360 different degrees of color in the world and everybody's diverse and things like that, it just really is not the case. Now, I'm not a big enough movie aficionado to know you know, who should have been nominated, who should not have been nominated. It's really been the last probably like 3 or 4 months, 5 months that I've actually left the house at night to go see a movie every once in a while. And so, you know, major outings for me are to go see movies like Sisters. Or, you know, I actually saw Star Wars over Christmas after it came out and, you know, thought that was great. But, you know, so not knowing what there was to pick from on a, you know, on an award savvy type of a ballot, are there films that should have been receiving additional recognition? I don't know. So I can't make an informed statement on that.
Yeah, unless they begin expanding like they do with the best movie. There's like, what is it, 8 or 9 best movie nominations?
Right.
Should we do the same for best actor, best actress, supporting actor? Would you be for that? I'm not for that.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You would have. Yeah, I think being nominated should be sort of an accomplishment in itself. I think if you make it like 9 or 10 per category, it's kind of watering it down, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think, you know, part of me is that, you know, I do like seeing the, you know, 5 nominees or whatever that magic number is, you know, because that's what we've been conditioned for. Do we need a top 100 to pick from on award night because we'd spend 6 hours just reading the top 3 categories? No. But do, you know, could we say, but, you know, the thing is, do we open it up and say, instead of 5, let's make it 7, or let's make it 8 or 9 or 10? What is that magic number? And is it only being done so we can then fill a demographic that's, you know, people are going to say, oh, well, you know, now we finally have somebody that fits into this category or that category, instead of, okay, we're just going to take the 5, you know, best performances that are out there. I'm not a judge of what the best performances are. So, you know, I don't want to hear it from anybody saying you said. But if those are the people that are nominated, that's great. Were there other people that fit into other demographics that should have also received recognition? I don't know. But, you know, so here's my racist comment of the day. But if we go to the BET Awards or any of the awards, but like Univision or things like that, you're not seeing, you know, Milquetoast America winning all of those awards. That's just not, you know, the way it is. And nobody has a fit about that. And I'm not trying to say that's right or wrong, but, you know, I'm not, you know,
right.
Not trying to stir up the pot.
I see your point. The BET Awards. What would it be if there was a white awards, you know?
It'd be horrible.
I mean, it would be horrible. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's okay, you know, to have BET awards, but if there was a white one, that would be totally looked at. It would be totally. Yeah. I don't know. It's such a hard. With the Oscars, I wouldn't mind, I guess, if there were 7 nominations each. But Best Picture last year had 10. I think this year it has 8 or something. So I think if we kept everything the same, if we make it 7, make it 7 for everything. Lucky 7. 7's a good number.
I like that. 7's a good number.
7's a good number. We should do that. But the Golden Globes, they're kind of a joke. Everyone's totally drunk at the Golden Globes. Although Ricky Gervais, I thought he did a good job again. Everyone's like, oh, he's so mean. That's what you do. That's who he is.
Well, they're not hiring him to be, you know, this, you know, Pippi Longstocking type of a host.
Right.
You know, they want somebody that has a little bit of edge.
Right.
I think something that is along the lines of Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, you know, it's a little, you know, quick-witted, sharp. You know, this is why they're getting Chris Rock for the Oscars. And,
right.
You know, you something
that
a little edgy.
Funny?
Well,
isn't
you
that
know, so
be funny? Yeah.
Chris Rock is fantastic. Do you remember years ago, and I remember this so vividly. I think it was Joan Rivers' last show when she was on Fox, and she had Chris Rock on her last show with Elton John, and she says, you know, and she leans over across the desk and says to this kid who was, you know, what, 17, 18 at the time, if that, and says, listen, kid, one day you're going to be a huge star, or, you know, something to that equivalent. And I always remembered that and thinking, what an impact that's going to have on that young man. And here he is hosting the Oscars today, and I think he's just absolutely brilliant. So good for him.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He is, even though I met him and he was kind of a jerk with me. But I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to let it slide. But you know he's going to say a bunch of things about a race card with the Academy Awards. He has nothing to lose. He'll never be nominated for an Oscar. Well, I can't say that. You never know, but he's going to have a field day.
But you have the same thing. You don't have any African Americans nominated in any major category. You know, remember when it was a couple of years ago we had a female director up for Best Director, and everybody made such a big deal. Oh my God, it's a woman, you know, nominated for Best Director, and I just kept thinking, so what? But you know, I guess that you know, having a lady nominated didn't faze me. I just thought, oh, okay, great, she's a lady director. Okay, let's just, you know, take a look at her work and see where, you know, the nomination, how the nomination came about. So I wasn't phased by that, by like a lot of folks. And I'm not phased when a Viola Davis is nominated or anybody else is nominated, because, you know, they're just like, oh, well, of course she was nominated. She's great.
As far as I'm concerned, Meryl Streep should be nominated for whatever she does.
Regardless. Even if she's not in a movie, she needs to be nominated.
She's just so good at whatever she does.
Nominated by abstention, or, you know, what is it when you're not even there, you get nominated? I think that's Meryl Streep should be nominated every year. She can beat Susan Lucci,
She should win every year. I mean, I know she's been nominated like 20 times and has only won a couple. She should, I mean, she's really, really amazing actress. She's probably the best of my generation. And it all began with Kramer versus Kramer when she was the crazy ex-wife, you know.
Crazy, and you never knew that what was going to happen. But you know what else you never know is going to happen is the color that my hair is going to be after I go to the hairdresser. John, do you have that problem?
Not yet. I will, though. I will. I'm starting to get a little gray hairs.
Well, who's getting purple hair now?
Who's got the purple hair? Justin Bieber.
Oh my gosh. The Biebs.
The Biebs. Now, in case you didn't hear our show last time, you sent me a picture of the Biebs.
Yes, the naked Biebs.
The naked Biebs that I haven't seen. And he's got a reason to be walking around naked, doesn't he?
In my opinion, he did. But, you know,
he just, does.
Yeah.
It's like you hate the guy already, and then he takes off his whatever, and you see a big thing, and it's like, really? Really?
Come on.
You jerk?
Yeah.
Not only are you the richest guy on the planet, you've got a big ding-dong. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Really? Really? But, yeah, he's got the purplish hair now. Actually, he's been out of the limelight a little bit lately, but, you know, when he gets the purple hair done, it's good. And his twin, Miley Cyrus, looks like she's back with her, with the old, with the guy she was supposed to marry, Liam Hemsworth.
Is that his name? So what's up with that?
The paparazzi saw her moving in to his Malibu home. And so they may be a thing again. I guess he misses Miley.
Do you think, you know, because if they were such a hot and heavy item for a while, do you think that she might have said, Liam, listen up, I got to stir the pot because, you know, this, you know, really goody-two-shoe image that I got with Hannah Montana has got to go because Hannah Montana ain't going to be selling records at 30 and Miley has to go out and move some merch. Why don't you go to a couple of movies, you head on back and go see the family for a year or so, you know, and I've got to go twerk on stage with, you know, different people, I got to stick my tongue out, and then we'll
hook
up back.
I'm going to be naked on a big ball.
Right. You know, so do you think any of that is predetermined, or do you think that they really had a split?
They probably had a split, and she probably got a little hot-headed, and But she's been out of the limelight a little bit as well lately, so she needs a little, like, her name in the press, and she probably misses the guy, too, and so they're probably going to try to give it another shot. She's wearing her old wedding ring again, so,
oh,
or her
great.
Engagement ring, I should say, her engagement ring.
So crazy kids.
Maybe she wants to settle down and...
Well, you know, her clock is ticking. What is she, 21 now?
Yeah, she's 21, but she has the shape of a 12-year-old boy, but that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay. That's okay. She has a tongue.
Well, let's do this. We got 5 minutes left. The computer will actually shut the show off. So unlike other shows that, you know, I can let round and ramble at the 60-minute mark, whether we're done, we can still continue to talk, but the show will stop recording. We got five minutes left. I think we should talk about everybody who's died recently, including Glenn Frey of the Eagles, who just died today.
He died today. I just saw that. That is so sad. I guess
so sad.
He was probably the best part of the Eagles. I loved him on the Eagles. I mean, I liked Henley and the guitarist, the other guitarist who I can't think of his name right now. But what a huge blow! I mean, he was incredible. The tour, I don't know if they can tour anymore, the Eagles. I'm sure they will, but it's going to be with a huge void. Huge void. I mean...
I love Glenn Frey.
Yeah, I do too. And
do you remember him from back
in
the Miami Vice days?
Yep. The heat is on, you know? He's saying that song. The heat is on. There you go. That's a little bit
Smuggler's
of me
Smuggler's Blues,
but,
you know, all of that.
Smuggler's Blues. And I was lucky enough, I don't know if you were, you probably were if you were a big Eagles fan. I did see the Hell's Freezes Over tour.
Wow. Where
the Hell's Freezes
that?
Over tour. They were at the Rose Bowl. This was like 94, I believe, for the Hell Freezes Over tour. And it was great. Even though we sat on the other end of the bowl and there was an echo from what you saw on the monitor till when it reached you back there, it was great. What a great concert. And that was supposed to be their last show. But no, of course, it's never like that. So it'll be really interesting to see how they move on. So.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of these legacy acts are, you know, hitting the road one last time because they realize, okay, we may not have a chance to do another big payday again, so it's time for us to take advantage. So if they can go out and make a buck and along the way, I think that makes their golden years even that much more special. So,
And like Motley Crue, did you see Motley Crue? I'm not a big Motley Crue fan, but they just played their last shows, apparently.
Well, they say that, and another 10 years, they'll be like, well, yeah, I know we said that, but the overwhelming fan response is so, you know, has just made us all rethink. No, it's called their accountant called up and says, you know, we're broke.
Right. We need to eat tour. what was funny, we need to eat tour. That was pretty good. I may use that in my act. What was funny about that last show, Tommy Lee has like this thing where he plays the drums on like a roller coaster sort of a thing, and he goes upside down, he plays the drums. Apparently the drum thing, it got locked and he was trapped upside down for a couple minutes. Luckily, all the blood rushed straight to his penis, so everything worked out okay.
Especially after the show, right?
Yeah, especially after the show. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's a lot of other people that have died and who are dying that we're not going to get to today. But one thing that's not dying is your career as a comic. It's live and flourishing here in January 2019. Where are people going to see you next, and where should people find you on social media and all that fun stuff in the next minute?
Look me up on the internet at jkcomedy.com. I will show all my shows. My next show is this Thursday at the Altabella Winery in Westlake Village. I know it sounds weird, a winery, but they put on great shows. I'm at the Ice House. I don't have the date right here. I know we're rushing. But if you look at my website, I will put up all my shows there, and I would love to see any of you listeners there. Make sure to tell me you listen to the show. Would love to see you all there. It'd be awesome.
That would be terrific. John, I'm sorry for the technical glitches, but that just endears me to – I know we've scheduled the entire year, but the listeners don't know that. That just endears me to bring you back next month, John. But listeners, John's going to be back in February, so we've got an entire year of John Cooperman on the show. I'm grateful to know you. Sometime this next month, we are going to have to sit down and have that leaf of lettuce and cup of water. Please, let's hold me to the task to make that happen. And everybody, we're going to be seeing you live tomorrow night, later start time, early today, late tomorrow. Tomorrow, I've never done an 8 p.m. start time ever, but it's going to be with Tony Award winner, and we're going to have that show tomorrow night. Don't drive distracted, and we'll see you live on Tuesday. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you.
You've been listening to
Bye-bye.
Rated G Radio.